We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who have died and have now gone above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I was not expecting to hear judgment tonight. I had in my heart and spirit another song to hear, but apparently not so. I'd like to send a special shout out to my great nephew Quan, who celebrated on yesterday his 13th birthday. The little fella is now a teenager, and I told you the story before about the baby. I believe he was about 5 months old when he was in an accident and his little head hit the windshield, and they were looking for all kinds of damages to be done to the baby. And I recall it so, and my sister called me in tears as she was driving about 20 miles to get to the hospital, and she was crying, and she said, "Sissy, the baby been in an accident. His head went through the windshield." And I began to get in the spirit quickly and question God, "God, what is this?" And the Lord spoke back to me and said, "The baby will be all right." And I said to my sister, I said, "God said the baby is going to be all right, but I need you to get your composure because we don't need a double accident." So she listened, and there was not a double accident. And I give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory tonight that the baby at 5 months old has now lived to be 13 years of age. And we just thank God for his goodness. Can we just give God a hand clap, a hand praise on his goodness? And nobody can do you like Jesus, whether you are a 5 month old baby or a 50-year-old man or a 95-year-old woman. Nobody can do me like Jesus. He's the only one that can operate where it's inoperable. He is the only one that could calm the raging seas. Though the storms are raging in our lives, many of us have sicknesses that we don't even know what they are, but we know that we don't feel like we should feel or like we once felt, and that's a storm in our life. My boy Paul called it a thorn in his flesh. But we thank God for the thorn sometime, because the thorn will bring us to beseech God. We will cry out to God and ask him to have mercy upon us, thou son of David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, your tender mercies. Have mercy, God. I recall on Saturday morning that I had cramps so bad in my foot until the whole foot turned over. The toe just snatched the foot over. It twisted my foot, and I couldn't put my foot flat. I had to walk almost on my right ankle. But I got up out of the bed, and I was crying out to God, "God, why don't you fix this for me? I don't sleep at night, every night, bad foot cramps, not pain, bad foot cramps, all night long. When morning comes, I can go to sleep, and then it's time to start my day." So I cried out, God, why won't you help me? Why won't you fix this for me? The doctors have not been able to fix it. They have given me different medications for it, but yet the problem still is here. God, fix this for me. And so I was reminded that when I was a child, how when I was sick and I just would lay there and I would sing until I felt better. And as I hopped around on my left foot, couldn't put that foot down on the floor, the right one, I just began to sing, my soul loves Jesus, my soul loves Jesus, my soul. And as I sang, my soul loved Jesus, I was not telling Jesus that my soul loved. I was letting the enemy know, the devil, that my soul loved Jesus, in spite of the fact that I had these cramps every night. When they leave out of the foot, sometime they'll go into the calf, and when they leave out of the calf, they will go and get in my side, and I'd be twisted from the cramp. But I had to let the enemy know that you cannot take my song. My soul loves Jesus. My soul magnifies the Lord. It makes large my Jesus to me. And I tell you, can't nobody hear the Lord. Hey, I feel Jesus in this place. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And I was in Delaware when that happened. And by 9, I was dressed to kill. When I walked through the church door, at 10, a little before 10 o'clock, the greeter said, my God, you look like $1 million. But they just don't know that 4 hours before then, I was in bad shape. I even had on my high heels, y'all. I think they were the 3-inch ones. I'm not sure. Anyhow, I was sharp, you hear me? Oh, yes, I was. Because it was daytime, and I began to thank my God. But I came home from Delaware to New York, and I tell you, when I went to bed, and then Dr. Scott called me and said, you know, I searched the internet for you, and I found something, a liquid that they said will help you with your cramps. And I noticed it's still in the back of your car. I said, I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to get it cold, and I'm going to take it. So I did. I can't be a liar. I did. I brought it in the house. I got it cold, and I did take a tablespoon full of the stuff that he had ordered online for me. But I want to tell you a little bit more. When the cramp hit me, I went back to God. I said, God, this has got to stop. And God said, well, go get you a glass of orange juice. I've told you that before. Because I take a lot of insulin. I take many units of insulin. And then I take Onglyza, that's a sugar pill. And then I take 2,000 milligrams of metformin. And it's not that the devil did that. It's me. I'm the one who likes sugar. I will make a pound cake as sweet as I can. I will make an apple pie. The pie made Sunday was so sweet. I said, Lord, this is a sweet pie. But I didn't stop eating. That's why I have to take all of that medicine, because I do this. And being a diabetic, your potassium plays a big role in the cramps that you have. So I just had to go back to God, and he came back to me with an answer. And he said, and then take with the orange juice one of your potassium pills. And I did that, and I went to sleep. And the next night, I went to sleep. I slept all night. I got a text message saying, how did you sleep last night? I replied, great. Nobody can do us like Jesus. Nobody can do us like the Lord. I had requested a song today. We need the Lord to stop by through the storms of life. We need him by our side. We need the Lord to stop by. The song goes, come on down, Jesus, and stop by. Hellhounds are blazing, please stop by. Storms are raging, please stop by. Give me your hand, help me to stand. Stop by. We need your Lord to stop by. Somebody need a blessing, won't you stop by? Somebody need a healing, won't you stop by? We need your Lord to stop by. I want to be with you. Sister Cummings said every day of my life, stop by. We need your Lord to stop by. Woo! Somebody needs saving, won't you stop by? We need your Lord to stop by. I need you every day of my life, so stop by. God, we need your Lord to stop by. And that was the song that I requested. I put in my request early today, and I tell Dr. Scott the song that I hear in my spirit, and I asked him to play them for me before I get on. But he played I See the Sign of the Judgment. Well, as Sister Cummings said, have you read in Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew, have you read that? The sign is drawing nigh. Now, it was prophesied to me in October of 15 that Hillary Clinton is going to be the president. So I said to Apostle Wade, we were sitting there together at the table, and the prophet was speaking during our lunch break there from the conference, breaking every chain. And I said to her, did you hear that? She said, yes, I did. I said, well, then we're going to watch to see what happens. But I want to let you know, I don't believe that this was a lying prophet was doing the talking, but we'll know in November whether he was hearing from God or just was hoping that Hillary win. But I want to tell you all something on tonight, that if she doesn't win, the song says, I see the sign of the judgment. I want to let some of you all know that think that all you're supposed to do is just do what you want to do. It's my thing, and I can pray if I want to pray. I can read the Word of God if I feel like reading the Word of God. But I want to let you know that my Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If God allows the Republican to get the seat, it's going to be a whole lot of knee bowing going on. But for the elect's sake, God, we ask that you let it not be so. But if you let the Republican, who doesn't like foreigners, let me put it that way, doesn't like foreigners, and he's going to get rid of all of, you know, the foreigners, I don't know what he's going to do about the ones that work in his cabinet, but however he's going to do, but now that he sees that he has only 1% of the foreigners, which I'm calling us black folks foreigners too, you know, we from Africa, y'all, so we're foreigners. So he only see 1%. One. And in the other, nationality, run. You know, now he's in love with you. You got to watch somebody like him. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord concerning him. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 1 minute you like me, 1 minute you don't. The next minute you like me, and the next minute you don't. What's up with you? That's what the kids would say. What's up with you? But my Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I said if any black person or Mexican person or Hispanic or however, Asian, whatever you are, if you be taken in by his plea now to reach out to you. Now, he has sent you away. Now he's reaching out to you. I have a question for you in Galatians. It says, all foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? And I want to say to my family, my black family, all foolish black people, who have bewitched you, that you should believe that mess that he's talking. Now, I did not get on here for this sermon tonight. But after the song got played, then I went another way. I said, well, then, okay, God, let me go with the sign of the judgment. The Antichrist is already here. He's getting everything else in line. He's positioning this and that. And something God is going to let happen, because the only way some of you will pray is when trouble comes. It's the only time that you will pray. You'll go to church on Sunday, but you won't pray. Read your Bible. That's a thing of the past. Some of you haven't picked up the Bible since Sunday school, and now you're a senior citizen. You remember the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but God is strong. But hey, come on now. You got to know more than just that. I can call some folk that need God, and they can tell me everything detail for detail that what's going on what that program is. Y'all know what it is. They come on Tuesday night, the haves and the have-nots. The young lady invited me to look at it because for some reason I would call her on Tuesday night, and she said, look, I can't talk to you right now because my program is awesome. What did you watch it? And then she started telling me, and see, Jeff did this, and his mama and his dad, and somebody over here, and I can't stand this one, and I don't like that one, and she was going on. So I said, well, I'm going to watch it next week. So I did with her on the phone so she could tell me who is who. And she would talk through the whole program. Now, you see this one here? That one is Wyatt. And Wyatt and Jeff have a thing going on. And then you see, I can't stand Candace, because Candace is just, she this. And I'm trying to remember the faces put with the name. But you see, I said, I need to watch it. Listen to me. I need to watch it because when I get up to bring my message and I tell you about watching the haves and the have-nots on the television, I need to be able to tell you why you shouldn't be watching the haves and the have-nots, especially when you should be on your knees. or laying on your back talking to God. Yeah, I know folks say, no, I can't be there sometime, cause, but we expect for God to meet us every time we call him. And yet you only have time to worship only on Sunday. That's the only worship you do. And get upset if you're in church more, longer than 2 hours. I belong to a ministry in Delaware, the pastor, my pastor, Apostle Manny, she ordained me as a pastor. And we go to church, and sometimes I will talk with my sister, and I say, girl, I'm just getting home from church. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. She said, ooh, no, I couldn't go to church that long. She can't. But I'm in a deliverance ministry, and people come through the door hurting. You can't send these people back out like that. You got to work with that soul, because you know what? It could be your last time. And then you will say, Lord, if I'd have just took a moment to hear what they had to say. But I was in a hurry because I just wanted to get home and sit in my house and do nothing. But when I leave my house on Sunday, please don't look for me, because I go to church to get back home when I get back home. That's it. I don't drink before I go to church. I don't do any of that because I don't even want to get up and go to the bathroom, because I don't want to miss what's important, and that is the service of God. But I'm telling you, if God doesn't have mercy on his creation on planet Earth, and that Republican Donald Trump gets to be the president, a whole lot of people is going to come back to God. And you know what? You won't be watching the haves and the have-nots. You'll be the haves and the have-nots. Better yet, you'll be the haves and have no more. That'd be the next one, had and have no more. Because he is going to be bad for us. Oh, bless his name. Now, we thank God for Jesus, and we thank Jesus for blood. I give honor to whom honor is due. I give honor to Dr. Gregory Scott, who is my host. He's my pal. He's my confidant. He's my member. He said, I'm his pastor. Oh, bless his name. And he said, I will do whatever I can for my pastor. I have a lot of members. I don't see you, but you're my members. Why? Because I'm speaking the word of God into your life. And when someone feeds you the word of God, that's a good thing. I just want to read you tonight. We are coming live. This is the fourth Wednesday of the month, and we are on every fourth Wednesday. Every fourth Wednesday. Every first Sunday, every fourth Sunday, and every Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is our time. The only time that we're on in the evening is on the fourth Wednesday at 7:30. And we're getting ready for our fourth anniversary. We will be on the air 4 years come October. My goodness, that time has come quickly, hasn't it? It just seemed like it was just a few days ago that we had our service on the air. I have to start contact. I have the women to go forward first, and I've got some good brothers in the Lord that I'm going to ask if they will bring the message for our week of service. We are praying for our pastor and our apostle, Pastor Gertie, who put her father to rest over a week ago. He was in his 90s. I think he was turned 90. So she was blessed to have had her father all those years. I was 23 when my father passed away. Let's go to the Word of God. And we're going to come out of the book of Numbers tonight, and I'm not going to be with you long. Because I've already preached my message. But know this, you all need to pick up your Bible, not just depend on the pastor to read something. Pick your Bible up and read it. Pastor Bronner, Bishop Bronner out of Bronner, he comes on Sunday night at 7:30, Daystar. I love him. I told Dr. Scott, please send him an email for me. Because I really love him. He is somebody special to me. I've never met him, only on the television. But he's a teaching man, and I like teaching because my father in the gospel, Joseph King, taught us. And when I sit and listen to Bronner, I just go back to my childhood where my pastor would feed us the word like that. And sometimes he'll step out from behind his podium and he'll start preaching. And I tell you, it is just good. And Sunday, I tell you, he was just so rich. Sunday night at 7:30 on Daystar, whatever channel it is for you, try and catch Pastor Bronner. I have nothing against Jake and the other fella that I love so much, Noel Jones, but I like Bronner. It's something about him that just stirs up my gift. That's the best way to put it. He stirs up my gift. You may not have the gift, so he may not do anything for you, but he stirs up my gift. And he said on Sunday night, he said, please, you shouldn't look at this news before you go to bed because the news is depressing. It's always talking about somebody got killed or in a fire or anyway. News seems to represent a whole lot of tragedy. And then you have that in your spirit, and then you go to bed and try to go to sleep, and you toss and you turn because the wrong thing has gone into your spirit. This is what I used to tell Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I don't want Jerry Springer on in this house. I said, because those are spirits on that television, and they come through the television, and then they hang out in your house because you don't have enough ability or enough Jesus in your life to see the spirits in your house and do a spiritual cleansing. Two things you got to keep cleansed is your mind and your house. Those are the, and some of you who have a job, you may want to do a spiritual cleansing on your job. Some of the pictures that you have on your desk signify who you really are. And then yet you want to witness to somebody and they looking at, well, what's up with her? That's what the kids would say. What's up? I don't like for different stuff to be on my television. Because the spirits you can't see. Spirits come right through the television screen. Spirits can go places that you, a human, cannot go. And they can do damage. You wondering why you always having problems all the time. How about flushing your house out from the devil and flush it in with Jesus? How about you do a cleansing in your house and go from room to room and wall to wall and take a little blessed oil and just touch the wall in Jesus' name. Cleanse this house. And I guarantee you somebody's going to leave there. Either you going or they going. It's just that way. It's just that way. It's just that way. So we got to be careful what we put in our temples. We got to be careful what we put in our houses, our temples of God. Well, he said you need to, before you go to bed, put the word of God in your spirit so that you can rest well. I'm guilty, I used to read my word every night before I went to bed, but I started having an eye problem from the enemy, and I stopped reading my word. I used to read it every morning, every night. I filled my house with the things of God. And when he was speaking on that Sunday, I repented before God. I said, Lord, forgive me. If I can watch the haves and the have-nots, I know I can pick the Word of God up and read it. And if I can't see it, my pastor said, when you come to something in the Bible, this is Pastor King, when we were children, he said, sometimes children, the words, you can't pronounce the words in the Old Testament. There's some hard words to pronounce. He said, when you get to them, just take your hand and rub the page. God knows you can't pronounce the words. So just rub the page and go on. So even if you can't see it clearly, Just rub the page. God will honor you. You wonder why the enemy is always acting a fool. It's because you don't have anything to fight him with. And what can you fight the devil with? The Word of God. Jesus told him it's written. Jesus could have struck him down. He could have did. But Jesus just simply said to the devil, it is written. Mm-hmm. And it is still written. And Jesus is willing to help you. He will carry you through. But you've got to ask the Savior to help you. Just don't take for granted that he has to do it. What is wrong with you? Why not say, Lord, help me. Help me. I need your help. I need you. Right away, my boy is saying, I need you now. Why don't you put on some church music in your house and just let the Spirit of God saturate your house? What you burning candles for? Why don't you call the name of Jesus in your house when the devil is acting a fool? You can, one thing I like about prayer, it doesn't have to be out loud. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you can just say, help, Lord, in your mind. God heard it, and he'll fix it. And he'll tell you to flee if you need to flee. Ah, bless the Lord. I know it said resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But if you're not where you should be in God, you may have to flee. You may have to flee in the name of Jesus. We have the victory. Tell me who can stand before us. And when we call on that great name, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory in the name of Jesus. Satan will have to flee. Oh, I tell you all, you know what's happening now, don't you? I'm feeling good. I get excited every time I speak the Word of God, whether it's to you in your hearing or I go all day long talking to myself, the Lord, I just thank you. God, I thank you. I looked at a man today, and I prayed for him. He didn't know because I didn't lay hands on him, and I didn't pray out loud. I just watched how he was walking, and I'm saying, God, strengthen his legs in Jesus' name. The man came back, and he was walking a lot stronger. Your husband don't have to hear you pray. Neither does the wife have to hear the husband pray. But I know one thing. You can tell the difference when prayer is in the house. When there's no prayer in the house, you know it. But when there's prayer in the house, you feel the prayer that have gone up. That's the way the church once was, that when you stepped on the premises, you could feel the anointing because the prayers had gone up so strongly. Now folk want to smoke cigarettes, they want to drink, do everything else on the church lawn. That's why some of these funerals really should not be at the church, because they have no respect for the house of God. And that's only because we have let our guard down, because we don't want to hurt anyone's feeling. But I tell you, I went to court 8 years ago, I believe it is now. I went to court to represent a young lady because I'm clergy. And they asked me, do you have a cell phone? I said, yes, I do. Said, do you have it with you? I said, no, it's in the car. He said, okay, because I was going to send you back out to get rid of your phone. And they know I got it on vibrate. I got it on mute or whatever you want to say, because my daughter might call or my son may call me. Not in the courthouse. Not in the courtroom. Not in the courthouse. You're not in the courtroom. You just in the building. You can't even be in the building, let alone the courtroom. But yet we walk into the house of God with bottles of water. You don't drink water like that. But you got to style with your bottle of water. I better stay on the radio, because if I ever get me a building, I don't know who would be in it, because I'm not having it. You can't go in the courtroom with your bottle of water. You can't. Years ago, you couldn't go in there chewing gum. They told you you couldn't do that. But if the usher at the church asks you for your gum, you want to fight her when church is over. What's wrong with you? You call yourself a born-again Christian, and you can't even do the right thing in God's house. Don't you know the scripture lets us know that you ought to keep your foot in the house of God? You can't come up in God's house any kind of way, doing anything you want to do. You have to respect God. Yes, come as you are. That's right. Come as you are. You can't stop smoking on your own, so come as you are. You can't stop screwing on your own, so come as you are. Bring all of that to Jesus. He can fix it. Well, I'm gonna come to church when I stop smoking. Come now. Leave smoke free. I went to church still smoking. And I'm here to tell you it's been 29 years. My cigarettes was in the car. I wouldn't take them in my pocketbook in the house of God, but they were in my car. And when I came out of church that Sunday, I never picked up a pack of cigarettes. That was the third Sunday in March of 1988. Somebody said something got a hold of me. But I won't tell you something got a hold of me. Jesus got a hold of me, and he made the difference in my life. When Jesus comes in your life, Satan's powers will be broken. Some of us get deliverance right then on the spot, and some of us got to press towards it. You got to make sure, God, I want this thing, I want this deliverance, and you didn't give it to me last night, but I'm not going to stop, God, until you give it to me. Because the scripture says some was healed as they went. Some will be delivered as they go. Some get deliverance right on the spot, and some of us have to tarry for it, meaning we had to wait on it. But while we're waiting on it, we're preparing ourselves to receive it. You don't go back to doing the same thing and say, well, God didn't do it for me last night, so I might as well go back and do what I want to do. No. He brought you out of, but you got to keep on keeping on. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. And I'm almost done. And I just saw something here. I don't even know what it's going to say, but just let me, my word is coming out of the 23rd. Chapter of Numbers tonight, and I was going to read it in its entirety, but time has gone by with a shift. A shift has come, and I was just looking at this in the 22nd chapter of Numbers, and it said, It says, and Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power at all to say anything? The word that came, the word that God puts in my mouth that I must speak. Now, you see, he was letting them know. Balaam said he said, look, I'm going to speak the word to you that God has given me to speak. Is that all right? That's what we pastors and evangelists and prophets, we ought to speak the word that God give us. And it's supposed to be seasoned. We don't preach the word to destroy you. We preach the word hoping that you will hear the word, like with Bronner on Sunday night, and it will draw you to and not send you away from. Oh, bless his name. My eyes just went there, and I just thought that I would read that, because for whatever reason, you all need to get your Bibles and write down these chapters, these scriptures, and in your quiet time, when the enemy is acting a fool, you just when the storm is raging, stand by me. Someone made that song. When the storm is raging, stand by me. And a storm can be anything. A young lady today had a storm. She needed some money, and it was a big storm. But God blessed her that she called someone, and God gave her favor with the person that she called. And that right then just calmed her storm. But until she had reached the person that God gave her favor with, it was a storm in her life. Oh, God, I thank you. I just wish I had a whole week to stay on this, but I don't. Then Balaam said to Balak, however, with B-A-L-A-K, build seven altars. This is the 23rd of Numbers. Build seven altars for me here and prepare for me here seven bulls and seven rams. Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, I'm having a time that day, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height. Now, you see why I wanted the song, We Need the Lord, to stop by. He said he's going to go, but hopefully the Lord will meet me to wherever it is that I'm going. So this is what you need the Lord to stop by. You will go down on your knees, and you will begin to pray, and you will hope that the Lord will meet you in prayer. You're going, some people tell me, the bishop says, Bishop Davis, he says, Sister Pat, I like to go down to the water and talk to the Lord. So he will go down to the water, and hoping that when he gets down to the water and he begins to talk to God, that God will meet him there. Some of you, God has not met you there because you have not gone there. You will not take the time to say, I've got to move from this place, and I'm not saying move out of your house, your physical house, but look here, you need to see what happened was they built the altar, and they offered up an offering unto the Lord. And he said, Balaam said, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. And this is my New Spirit-filled Bible. King James is a little bit different. I think my King James said peradventure. But it says, perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height. He had to leave him there and go, and in going, believing, hoping, and trusting that God, when I leave the burnt sacrifice here at this place, I'm going because I've offered up to you, but I'm going to go up a little bit higher from this place, and I'm going to go and see God if you will come and meet me at that place. Woo! I'm excited because Jesus is real. God is real. And listen, that fourth verse says, and God met Balaam. Mm-hmm. And he said to him, I have prepared the seven altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Verse 5, then the Lord put a word, my God, in there. I'm going to stop after this. Then God put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. So he returned to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering. And he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. But verse 8 says, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Lord, I gotta stop there. I'm getting excited. Oh, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power. You all need to read this. You're wondering why I'm not dead. You're wondering why he's not dead. You're wondering why she's not dead, mean as they are. You wonder why the person got away with the shooting, because you cannot curse who God has not cursed. But I love the story in this 23rd chapter of Numbers. Read it, and you will find some very good pickings in it. We need the Lord to stop by. We need that when we go to God, we need for God to be pleased with us. Because the boy told God, he said, Balaam said, God, look here, I made seven altars. And I put the bull and the ram. This is an offering that I put, God. And he said, God, I did something that I want you to be pleased with me, so that when I come to talk to you to the most, when I come to talk to you you, God. You will meet me in the high place. Oh, God, I'm getting excited. It's time to glow. It's time to go. Ooh, I wish I had 3 more minutes to finish this. Ah, but you got to give God something that he'll be pleased with. You got to make an altar in your heart and say, God, here am I. Lord, I beseech you, I come before you. I repent of all of my wrongdoings. I'm cleaning up my heart because I'm coming to you because I need you to give me a word from the Lord. Oh, it's no harm in seeking a word from the Lord, but seek the word from the Lord and not from man. And yes, man can give you the word from the Lord, but make sure that man got the word from the Lord and he gives it to you. Examine it and see if it came from God. God ain't talking no strange stuff. He's talking what you can identify. Many times I give people the word, I said, I don't know what I'm saying to you, but you know what I'm saying to you because it ain't for me to know. And when the preacher gives you a word, you should already know this word is coming from the Lord. Why? Because you've made a sacrifice. You have given God your time. And because, God, I'm doing what you said do, I have a right to seek you. And God, you must come. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalms, I got to go, y'all. I'm so sorry. This is live tonight. I got to go, but I can't seem to stop right here. Woo, thank you, Jesus. But the word said that the Lord is nigh. It also let us know that when a man's ways, woman too, please God, he will not turn his back on them. But we got to always be mindful, though. Some things we prayed for and we had our altars and we presented our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, but we got to still remember that God has a will in spite of what we asked him for. That's why we need to pray, Lord, your will be done. Do I want my wife to live? Yes, but Lord, your will be done. Yes, God, I want her. God, the man told me just 2 days ago when I stopped by to offer my condolence, and he said to me, he said, she died in my arms. He said, I didn't think she would leave me, but she's gone. And he looked at me and he said, you know what I want you to do for me? Just pray for me. Hey, God. The man was grieved over his wife for 50, I said, how many years you guys been married? He said, 58 years. He said, she died in my arms. And I tell you, his request was, you pray for me. I want to live my life that someone won't mind when they see me. They see the light of Christ in my life. And they'll say, you pray for me. The song said, I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Please get your Bible. And before the week ends, today is Wednesday, tonight is Wednesday, but by Sunday, please do me a favor. Matter of fact, don't do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. And find your Bible. And you go to Numbers. It's in the Old Testament. Go to Numbers and find that 23rd chapter and read about Balaam and Balak, or Balak, however way you want to say it. It is really Balak, B-A-L-A-K. But for some reason, I want to say Balak, but it's Balak. B-A-L-A-K. Read the story, because you're going to find something good. It's already good. Because look at what makes it good. In the very beginning of the verses, God met the man. And then he put a word in his mouth to bring back to Balak. Look, he got the name right this time. He gave him a word. He sought God for a word. And God gave him a word, but then it got a little shisty. But Balak said, hold up here. How can I curse Jacob? How can I do it? God ain't told me to curse him. As I say, some of you people that's cursing folk, You should be praying for them, and when you pray for them, God will move. But while you cursing them, nothing's happened. You need to say, God fix them, God bless them, God save them, especially if they're not saved. God save them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Man was so mean to his wife and family, he used to chain up the refrigerator. And God got a hold of that man, his wife was saved. But she prayed. God got a hold of that man and made him a pastor, cleaned him up, filled him up with the Holy Ghost. He became a pastor for over 50 years. He's retired now in the Church of God in Christ. But he told the story how mean he was. Chained up the refrigerator. Wouldn't do it, give him any money. Wouldn't do anything for him. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he took that mean man and gave them a happy life. And now he's enjoying his wife, and his son has taken over the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let the church say amen. God bless you.
of Dr. Gregory Scott. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Pastor Benjamin for that inspiring and uplifting service. You're listening to Benny Cummings, the King's Temple Choir, singing Stop By.